You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. Sorry for that. You know we live out here in these streets. But everybody's here, starting off with my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
You know, blessed and highly favored, you know, blessed and highly vaccinated, peace, okay. Love, and reparations for most.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Like that. Longevity, how are you, buddy?
Doing all right, man. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I see you got double duty tonight, so I'm going to leave you alone. You out here, long got like 15 things going on, so we appreciate you.
Way too many going on right now.
You got a lot going on right now.
It's all good.
My man DJ J Div, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good?
Yep, man. You know. Definitely feeling well.
How do I want to lead this in? Let's talk about Jay-Z being Jay-Z on a corny album and probably boosting the album's success based off his 4-minute verse. Let's talk about that.
I wouldn't necessarily say the album is corny. The person that is behind the album comes off very corny at times. But I'm not going to just sit out there and just call the album corny, though. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I mean, it ain't moved me. Because I know the formula by now, so maybe that's why I'm being biased, but I respect that. But you're right about the person, 100% about the person.
He's corny, but I wouldn't say. He's actually, he's really good at marketing. I'll give him that much. But,
genius. Genius at that.
Like I said, he had to deal with Weight Watchers and didn't lose 1 pound.
And it worked. Did commercials and everything, and it worked.
God did.
But
yeah, if that's nothing, if that's not God working in his life to be able to have an endorsement deal from Weight Watchers and not lose any weight and still get paid, that is God moving in his life.
Yeah. Man. So
considering he doesn't move, it's all good.
Jay's on a record.
Oh, he moved. Did you not see him dance in front of Timbaland with the air horn and all that stuff? Yeah. That's
corny.
That was amazing. Mm. That was amazing.
Hey, what'd you say, Lone? That's good content.
It was hilarious.
So let's talk about this verse, man, on the title track God Did. I believe it had Ross started it, Wayne was second, and then Hov pretty much just spazzed for about 4 minutes on the clock. Don't do that. I think it was about 4 minutes is what they timed. I could be wrong. I didn't count the bars or whatever. But I saw interviews where Khaled was saying, this is the greatest Jay-Z verse ever.
Did he say that?
Yes.
All right.
And, what was he going to say, man?
Gas.
He gassed up the verse prior to it coming out. And I'm seeing on my timeline, I got homies that I respect, their music opinions. So I'm out. I don't know, Mike, man. He blacked out for 4 minutes, man. This might be that one. I'm like, I don't know.
You outside of yourself if you really think this is Jay's best verse. I'm going
to
just say
it's
that.
Low-key disrespectful to Jay to be like, okay, this is the coldest verse just because he rapped on.
I've had this
conversation with people that I respect their opinion. So I've heard some to say it's disrespectful, and I've heard some say, "Man, I don't know." In terms of being
just ain't listening
verse.
Well enough. If you think that this is his best verse, that's
did anything. But we were talking about it off cam. There were some moments that stuck. You know that.
I mean, he went
stood
off.
Out to you though, right? He went off. He still went off.
I mean, Jay-Z did what Jay-Z does.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He double and tripled entendre that mug up. So if you listen to it for face value, it may not make a lot of sense, or you may have caught one thing. But if you listen to it again and again, you're going to start picking up different things. And it's not that he went off on this Lupe fiasco, mathematical algorithm.
Rapping about dinosaurs.
Rhyme. You know what I'm saying? It's cut and dry right in front of you. It's just Jay-Z is just very good at what he does. He makes it sound easy. And he does it like flawlessly, essentially. So him rapping 4 minutes straight, hitting you up with entendres and dope lines and things of that nature and talking about having money that we all don't have, it just sounded good. And I think a lot of the lure of the track was that it's Jay-Z on a Khaled album with a whole bunch of features from a bunch of rappers who aren't Jay-Z.
I think that's the draw to the album, period. Is that
I wouldn't, for us it is.
I'm looking for the whole verse.
We are, but you got to understand, we are not the majority right now.
That's fair.
So
that's fair.
What I'm speaking from is us being the people who aren't the majority right now are more so happy that Hov is being credited or Jay-Z with the best verse on this album amongst all the other people, the Littles and this, that, and the other.
Right.
And Nardo Wicks and things that the younger cats listen to, because they're listening to the album based on that and Lotto and things like that. They're not listening to it for a Jay-Z verse.
I'm not mad at that. I you know, just sonically, it's a worn out approach to me, and that just might come with my age. And
you mean, you say that every time Khaled drops an album, yeah, but like, he's still going to keep dropping the album, whether you think it's wore out or not.
It don't bother me. I mean, I ain't nothing I can do about him dropping albums, but I'm just giving my opinion.
Another thing that was kind of, to me and my personal opinion, there's a Dr. Dre beat on here, which is essentially just a remix of the song that was on Kanye's album, and it features Kanye. I think Eminem is on that one.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if that's what you want to call it, a Dre beat. I felt like I already heard this song before, though, because it was on Kanye's album. Dre just added a little extra sauce, definitely, into it. It made it sound like, and put his, you know what I'm saying, his producer stamp on it. But to me, that didn't really jump out at me yet.
It was mid to me. Like, Dre didn't enhance it to make me be like, oh, man, crazy for the remix. It just, like, I saw the video of him in the studio. He was playing the beat. Kanye was rocking out, going crazy. I'm like, this is not it. Y'all still legends.
Yeah, guy in the chat, he just said, well, Hitman said he thought Wayne's verse was better.
I've heard that.
I'm not going to say Wayne's verse was better. The thing about Wayne, people get excited about Wayne because Wayne has not, like, album-wise, you can't sit up and tell me that Wayne's last couple albums have been the Wayne of past. And when he drops a feature here lately, he's sounding better and sounding more like himself. So people are liking that Wayne is actually getting back into his bag. But I don't say that makes him sound better than Jay.
Did you hear Wayne talk about what we talked about when he talked about his influence?
Yeah, I did.
Spot on. It's spot on with what we talked about. He knows that all these kids look like him right now. You know, Wayne been rapping since he was, what, 14?
Something like that.
That's crazy.
But again, what does people looking like him have anything to do with his sound?
No, I'm talking with his impact. It can be beyond sound to me. From a look, from an aesthetic, a swag, a vibe.
But I'm speaking about specifically you saying that people look like him.
Yeah, he's influential.
But what 100%. Does that have to do about the sound, though?
You don't think there's people out here that try to sound like Wayne, young Wayne, old Wayne as well?
Is that what I'm saying, though?
You said the sound.
No, what I'm saying is, what does the fact that people look like Wayne have to do with the fact that people sound like Wayne?
I'm saying those can be two separate things, is what I'm saying. I'm saying his influence on hip-hop can be seen throughout all of these kids that are out here now based off them growing up, either liking him, listening to him, looking at that.
All right, so
that's what I'm saying. I think you can separate the two.
Which I am, but you keep coming back to the fact that people look like him, which is why I keep bringing it up.
No, I feel you, but I mean, he said it. You know, he said it in the verse.
Doesn't mean that. Look, man.
He said it. I ain't say it.
If I'm influenced by some random person and I change my appearance, that means that I sound like somebody, though?
No, man.
Exactly.
You can separate the two, though. Impact is not the same all the way around.
You keep making my point, though. Never mind. Never mind. It's all good.
Cut it out, man.
Never mind.
Either way, I thought that was dope that he said that. What you think about the verse?
Whose verse?
Jay.
Jay's verse was cool.
Fair enough.
Sounded like Terry said, I listened to it right before we came on, but it sounded like a Jay-Z verse. You know, like, Jay doesn't really miss in these type of big moments. Mm-hmm. You know what he's going to come through and he's going to deliver, and he did. I skipped past Wayne's because I didn't like the little vibrato auto-tune thing that was going on with him. I like Wayne when Wayne raps just Wayne's voice and he's just rapping. I'll skip all this stuff every time he's got all this vibrato, this turned all the way up on the auto-tune stuff. I'm just not a fan of that personally.
I can dig it.
But, you know, but Wayne has been snapping. Just that wasn't my thing.
Yeah, Wayne has been flashing here lately, in my personal opinion.
Yeah,
album-wise, I just...
No, it's last couple
I'm
of
not
albums.
Feeling like...
No.
He did drop a mixtape like 2 years ago, I think, that it's featured his kids on it. Mm-hmm. His kids were on separate songs.
Yeah. Right.
And that was actually a good mixtape, in my personal opinion. But album-wise, I don't think... I can't name any singles off any of these latest albums.
When's the last time Wayne flashed for you on a project?
He's been flashing on all the features here lately.
I'm talking about like one of his quote-unquote like
his
studio
last
album. Yeah.
Like that I really felt.
That remix of Special Delivery.
Man.
Like the Carter.
People would be mad at me.
What? How far are you going to go back?
When Wayne was really snapping.
Yeah.
Probably No Ceilings. Mm-hmm. And that was a mixtape.
A while back.
Yeah.
What you think?
Somebody in chat say Funeral. I Funeral. Yeah, I mean,
I did. Wayne has like, it was
Wayne
boring.
Has verses, and he has times where he goes in a little bit. But as an album overall,
yeah,
Funeral didn't do it for me, man.
It was cool.
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was cool. It wasn't. I ain't gonna give him trash.
When's the last time you listened to the Funeral?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
that's the point right there.
Yeah, that's the point. I can't argue with that. Yeah, I can't argue with that. What you think, Jay? Talk to me about Jay and his verse.
Look, I've been listening to Jay, like seriously listening to Jay since 95. All right. And, you know, when I listened to this verse, like I thought it was dope, but yeah. I also listened to Jay Electronica's A Written Testimony. That was in heavy rotation for me.
That was
for
good.
A while. And you got to understand, like to me, that's a Jay-Z album featuring Jay Electronica.
It
and
is.
Jay-Z snapped on that album.
Yeah.
It got off
all the way through it.
Yeah.
You know, he was giving you those when people were like, man, I wish Jay-Z would just do it like this. Like that's what he gave you in that album.
Yeah.
You know, and then like I listened to, you know, Reasonable Doubt over the weekend just because I keep old albums in rotation. That's what I do because I'm a new old head.
One of my favorites.
And, you know, like when you listen to how he's rapping on that, I was like, look, I don't know why y'all are so, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like what this is. And of course it's, also impressive because here it is, Jay being 52 years old.
Right.
Being such a veteran of the game and feeling like, okay, I'm going to rise to the occasion and let y'all know. Because the thing is, like, I liked Wayne's verse. I thought it was dope. And, you know, somebody's extremely critical of Lil Wayne. But like I said, I think it was maybe about a year ago, I said, look, Lil Wayne on these features, because first of all, I don't hear the drug addiction in his voice like at one point I did.
That's tough.
You know, like when I heard like what he did on AZ's album, which y'all should definitely go back and revisit if you haven't already done so.
Good project.
You know, I was like, oh, he's giving it to him. But then, like, I felt Rick Ross did what he needed to do.
I think Rick Ross is almost getting left out.
Yeah, people like, are not people talking about, you know, maybe it's because he went first and maybe it's because Jay-Z gave him four minutes of straight bars. But
it's a tough spot with him.
I mean, it's kind of like the song when Big Sean dropped the song where Kendrick went off at the end of
true.
It.
True.
Yeah,
nobody even remembers the rest of that song.
Nobody even remembers that Jay Electronica was on that show. When we was on that song when we was waiting for Jay Electronica verses.
That's a good point.
Control, right?
Control, yeah.
Yeah, Kendrick stole the whole show on Control. Good
hold
point,
on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Slander on the timeline, I just think.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Jay-Z hasn't had a good album since Blueprint. Come on now.
Where we at? Who?
Who was that? Well, you know what? Let's
Hood
not put
Hitman 702.
Okay, we appreciate you. We appreciate you.
Jay-Z hasn't had a good album since... 2001.
Come on,
that
man.
That means we'd be skipping over 4/4 and American
Gangster,
the Black Album. We're gonna skip over that.
Come on now.
Wow.
No, I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
fam.
I mean,
I'm sorry,
that's
fam.
Very
yeah, that is
to speak right.
I don't
there.
Even know it's pro. It's
that's a
Hitman.
What
I
is
can't,
that?
Hitman, it's I can't rock with
wrong.
You on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hitman, I can't rock with you on that. We appreciate
no, sir.
Yeah,
too much.
So you're telling us that Funeral is better than everything that Jay-Z dropped after the Blueprint.
I need to say, I hope he takes. I hope we get a comment on that one.
No, sir.
No.
Nah, you can't just off.
We
the
can have a whole segment on the goodness that Jay-Z has done since the Blueprint.
The goodness.
I mean, yeah, because it's been 22 years. That's right. September 11th.
American Gangster consists amongst people that I know. I ain't gonna put it on the masses. Consistently gets underappreciated, and why
Ooh,
I don't know.
It's very much appreciated album because you know what it came.
I don't know why
it came after Kingdom Come, which was a bit of a stumble. Even though there's some joints on there I like, but
nah, Kingdom Come wasn't it.
Kingdom Come was
He had about four on that album, if I remember.
You know, but you could tell he just was not. He was doing other things, and he was like, all right, I guess I'll put out an album.
I mean, the Blueprint 3 has filler, but it's got heat also.
It does, but that tour, if you've seen the tour, it made sense.
Okay.
He actually toured with Jeezy
and Trey Songz was the opener.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not going for it. He ain't been good since Blueprint.
Yeah, that's tough.
Because
if we talking about flashing on features, Jay has definitely been doing that for the past 20 years.
Look, when you think about Three Kings, when you think about I Got the Key, the stuff he does, whenever he shows up on a DJ Khaled album.
Oh, he show out. Yeah, he shows
you
out.
You know, I don't know what their relationship is to where he makes sure to put in work on a DJ Khaled album, but he does it.
Like you said, crazy marketing. Let's see. So
he don't charge for the feature.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Lusky said Kingdom Come will be appreciated after he's long gone.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a just trash album.
It wasn't trash.
But it just wasn't the Jay-Z that we wanted to hear.
Not when you come
after leaving. You left on the Black album.
You left on the Black album.
What were the records? Let's see. Show me, Show me what you got.
Lost One.
Lost Ones was dope. 30s and New 20. No?
That wasn't dope. Dig a Hole. Hollywood.
Dig a Hole.
Anything
was cool.
With Usher. Like, there's a whole, there's about four songs in a row that are just not good at all.
Lost Ones is
Beach Chair.
Kingdom Come was hard.
Beach Chair is a record. Oh yeah, Kingdom Come. That was Just Blaze showed out on that.
Yeah,
but yeah. I mean, and I used to go back and forth with Jay Brookins about this because I love the song Beach Chair, the very last song on that album. He was like, nah,
it's
once again, yeah, an album that, you know,
not memorable.
Jay Z, like when he ranks his album, he puts Kingdom Come at the bottom.
Y'all,
ain't no telling where life will be.
It's like Magna Carta. Magna Carta doesn't rank high on my list. It's cool. Got some heat.
Is that the one with him and Kanye?
No, that's you talking that's about. That's
Watch the
Throne.
Watch the Throne was good.
Yeah, Magna Carta is the one where he had
Justin Timberlake.
Mess with me, you know I got it. Like he was trying.
Rick Ross.
The whole thing smacked.
A lot of people liked that album.
Picasso Baby was cold.
Their records was good. Yeah, that was good.
That was cold.
So was what was that one song?
The whole thing smacked of effort.
Ocean's 11, or was that on King?
No, you're right. You're right. I can't remember if that's the title or not. I think you're right.
Ocean's 11 was the name of it. But
I think Magna Carta.
I remember that was the first one where, like, if you had like a Samsung Note 4 or something,
you automatically had that album.
You know,
he went platinum the first day.
Yeah. You just had to have the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. So he chimed in. Hitman says, "My bad. Black album is the last good album he made." Hey, he's had Magna Carta, Blueprint. Blueprint 3, 444 are nowhere near that. Okay.
I mean, the Black Album was just such a dope way to bow and retire.
I believe it,
at
too.
At the end of the day.
If he'd have retired.
Yeah, if he had retired.
Yeah.
But I think 444 is good grown man hip-hop, honestly.
I'm not mad at that.
Magna Carta, Holy Grail was,
He was chasing radio records.
Yeah, it had a couple on there. But Blueprint 3 was too long. Or was that Blueprint 2? Now, Blueprint 2 should have been condensed. Blueprint 3 was cool if you've seen the tour. But it wasn't a terrible album, though.
Yeah, if they trimmed Blueprint 2 down,
changes to Blueprint 2.1, put it on one disc.
They trimmed that down, and you might have had something. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks for the clarification, Hood Hit, man. We appreciate you, 702. Oh, this is Lone's favorite time of the year, man. He loves
lists.
Yeah, he loves to talk about lists.
Go ahead and hit that new sound bite you got.
Yeah, what you got for me?
This one?
I just don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
So this is
pretty
this,
accurate.
This list went viral. Somebody posted it, and it's been making its rounds, and it's the 50 worst rappers of all time.
This is always somebody with an axe to grind.
I don't know, though, man. It just might be a dude that just was...
At least it's not the 50 greatest women rappers of all time.
I saw one.
That was a terrible list.
I don't even...
We can do that one.
No, let's not talk about that list. It's just awful. Whoever put that out should be ashamed.
Yeah,
I looked at the first top five, and I was like, yeah, I ain't about to honor this list.
See, here's my problem with lists like the worst rappers of all time, is that there are so many rappers that aren't going to be made that they rapped, and then they haven't heard the rappers that I've heard.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're rappers. Because
you're naming famous rappers that you just don't like.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there are lots of really
They haven't
bad.
Heard that real trash that's out there.
Yeah, because there's some people that shouldn't even be on this list to be top 50 worst.
Let's focus
Plus,
on...
Plus, it's bad energy. I just don't like it.
Yeah, it is.
Let's focus on this top five, though.
This is a real hater list.
This, like, think about this top five, though.
What are the top five?
The top five, I got Silk. I got
Silk the Shocker?
Yes, sir. I got Silk as number one. Lil Yachty comes in at number two.
That's just hate.
Master P, shout out to the Noodles.
Somebody doesn't like No Limit.
Okay.
There we go.
OJ the Juice Man.
Or maybe the South.
Dude, that's what I was about to go with. Because everybody on here is from the South. Top five, everybody is from the South.
Yes. And Lil Flip.
So we got the top five all from the South.
Except for Lil Yachty. Lil Yachty is from what, Minnesota?
No, he's from the South too. He just got a song called Cold Like Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Is he from the South?
I think he's from Florida. Is he from Florida or
Atlanta?
Florida.
He's on QC.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's from the South. So we got Lil Pump, Smoke Perp, 6ix9ine, Gutta, Sean Diddy Combs comes in at 10.
That's just stupid.
Is it?
It is.
Yeah.
Smoke Perp's from Florida too, right?
He's from Florida, yeah. Everybody on that list is from the South except for 6ix9ine so far.
Waka Flocka. Comes in after that.
I mean, do we really consider Puffy a rapper? I mean,
I never have.
He rapped. He's got albums.
But Rick Ross was writing his rhymes. Jay-Z, I'm sure, probably wrote a couple of his rhymes.
Everybody's written
Royce the 5'9".
Yeah, a lot of people. So we're calling.
Or if
people.
He writes rhymes, he writes checks.
Yeah,
that's what he said. I see your angle though. Coi Leray.
What?
That's just number 12.
I mean, she's not good, but
she's only she got like three
but she's
songs.
Like 12.
Yeah,
yeah.
Birdman comes in and.
How's Coi Leray on here and Benzino's not on here?
Benzino.
I'm not. I'm only going to be able to see it till around the fourth. Let's see.
Whole family on the list.
Anyways, let's
Vanilla Ice. Okay. I'm not mad at that.
Actually, I am. I'll say
don't do this.
Yeah,
man.
I'm going to do this.
Don't do this.
As a rapper.
Oh, Lord.
When you think about what was out at the time, he was extremely competent in putting his words together.
No, he was not in comparison to the people that were out at that time.
As opposed to the dance party rap, you know, it was a young MC.
He wasn't
very
good.
That wasn't his lane.
He wasn't good at following up. He wasn't good at following up with what he started. Let's
yeah,
just say that.
Like, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Right, that's not what
his
we're talking about.
His ability to actually ride a beat and rap.
I agree with you.
You can't act like... Cause
and I'm not going to say that I was a Vanilla Ice fan.
Just yeah, not that I'm, we talk about being fans of dude, but just through osmosis, all of damn near everybody listening to this podcast right now knows at least one verse from Ice Ice Baby. That's how catchy it was.
I can't cap on that, Jay Moore. I can't cap.
You ain't going to like this section, though. There's a St. Louis section that...
Oh, man.
Chingy at 27, and then the St. Lunatics at 28.
All
so you're just
going to
say all of them.
Yes. All of them.
So we got Kid Boo. Is it Kid Boo? How you say it, Lone?
I don't know.
Yeah, why would he know?
Kid B-U-U. I don't know who that is. Yeet.
Like from?
Yeet?
Yeah, Yeet.
Is that
there.
Even a real person?
Man, it sounds like a meme to me. I don't know.
It sounds like something from Saturday Night Live.
Benzino is 17.
Oh, I guess he is on there.
Yep, Plies comes in at 18. Plies is comedian to me at this point.
No, Plies don't deserve one of these.
You big man.
What about Blueface? He definitely deserves to be on here.
He can't rap on beats. So
yeah, so I he's the only person where I'd be like, yeah, he definitely deserves.
Now here's this. Where the disrespect comes in. Cardi B. I ain't gonna play her. I don't want to play her like that.
That's clearly hate.
Yeah, she don't deserve
Cardi B actually can rap a little bit.
I ain't gonna play her like that. She don't need to be over here. Lil B.
The bass god.
That just ruined their whole life if they put Lil B on the list.
You don't put Lil B on. No, you don't do that energy to Lil B.
So you got Gunna, Chief Keef, Soulja Boy.
Tell him.
Manny Fresh, Nick Cannon, Chingy Han the St. Lunatics, Bow Wow.
Bower Wower,
C Murder. G Herbo, Riff Raff, Prince Montana. I wish I had a bell or something because I definitely agree with that.
No,
he's trash.
I can't even. No.
I like Joey High Roller, man.
Who?
Riff Raff.
I'm sorry. I missed it.
Yacht Style Boat.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who else is rapping about Yacht Style Boats?
Ying Yang Twins. Stop that, Long. Ying Yang Twins.
Mike Jones.
Lil Uzi Vert.
I mean, I don't think we should put Ying Yang Twins on that. I mean, they have a voice problem. They can't.
Boom, 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 boom.
He said a voice problem.
I seen him one time when I went on vacation.
He said a voice problem.
Where was we at? We was spring break. This is spring break time back in the long time ago.
Was they whispering?
And they were just walking around going up to people going. I was like, man, don't come over with that
don't
shit.
Come
Do keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got I said Uzi, right? Flow Rider / Pitbull.
Why they put both of them as 37?
They in the same.
Like they the same person.
But they in the same pocket, though. Hey,
are they really?
Hey, this is a really well thought out list. Yeah. Bro. Had to get half.
Jay Moore, they in the same pocket. You know, Pitbull.
Because they're both from Florida?
No, because they both make. I don't want to describe it.
Like if you've been to Senior Frogs like on spring break, it seems like something that you
Or Land Sharks.
Yeah, it's that's what
old
you would
Land
like.
Sharks.
Yeah,
but yeah,
might be still Land Sharks. I ain't been.
I couldn't tell you. Young Thug, Petey Pablo,
what?
Gucci Mane, Designer. I need a bell for that. He's trash. Yayo.
Designer definitely got that Timmy Turner stuff right out of here. I tell you what.
I remember people were trying to tell me, oh man, it's a spiritual experience when he's doing that freestyle.
Who?
It's a prophecy. Y'all just not paying attention.
Designer.
Who said this?
There was a lot of people capping for Designer.
Yeah, people was capping for him. That was trash. Tom McDonald.
Who is that?
I don't know.
He's that racist white guy.
Yeah, I'm gonna be there.
I don't know what that is. He's the.
That was Michael McDonald.
Yeah, it's Michael McDonald. Yeah.
No, Tom McDonald is that white guy with the tattoos on his face that raps about, you know, it's hard to be white.
Oh, well,
nah,
he is trash.
Did we bring him up at one point?
We probably talked about him. I don't know.
Future.
I don't like Future personally, but that ain't. I don't like him to the point where I would make a whole list just to put Future on a list.
Right. Future got enough records for me to be like, I can't call him trash. It just
I wouldn't put him on a trash.
Yeah, he just ain't for me.
Yeah, I missed that plane.
Yeah, I missed the whole wave on Future. And the people try to force Dirty Sprite on me, 1 and 2. I'm like, man, I missed.
Is this like the ability to like rap well, or is this like rap songs that
or
do
just
well?
Songs that you don't.
Good
like.
Question.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody was just spiteful. It sounds like to me.
Iggy Azalea.
Sure.
Thank you, Nelly.
And they put everybody from here.
Yeah, just put everybody in St. Louis. That's fine.
Dang.
Where does Ali show up?
They just put the whole group Lunatics. In there. They just
yeah, they put everybody in there.
We cover him under Lunatics. And I know for a fact Murphy Lee can rap, so that's very
Murphy Lee can spit.
RZA at 47.
You know what?
Talk to me, Long.
I'm not super mad at that.
Talk to me, Long.
Because RZA, after all these years... It's still,
hey yo, listen, Long. No man, don't do this, Long.
Now he's got stuff that is really good.
Now you and I both know because we remember when this stereo came out.
And
that
it
album
pop like tots.
How to punch you in your palm with these pointy ass rings.
Now y'all going off on RZA.
Speeding like Anakin inside of the pod, heading for the street.
We gotta
finish
come
line.
Together.
Watch Bobby cross
together.
It.
Go ahead and do it, Mike. We gotta come together.
You know RZA gonna be here in a couple of days. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
We have to come together.
I don't know. The thing is if we're talking like this is my argument on this is from a very nuanced standpoint of his how he technically raps, because if you get away from the novelty with RZA, sometimes he's kind of hard to listen to a little bit, just because he's.
I really like that Bobby Digital album.
I did too.
I like Bobby Digital and Stereo. I like Digital Bullet. I like some records off that. But he's got songs where I'm just kind of like.
And he got off on some pre-clientele too, low key.
Yeah, he did.
RZA is an acquired taste.
He doesn't deserve to be on this
acquired
list.
Taste,
he shouldn't be on
acquired,
this list.
No, he shouldn't be on the list. But
he's an acquired taste alone, right?
Yeah, he's definitely an acquired taste. But I would say if this was a real list, like a real list and not just like a spiteful list. I could see the argument being made because of some of the songs that he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm biased because I love RZA, but Lone had to sit me down and be like, look, man, like it's like a teacher looking at something on the screen. He's like, at this point, from here on back, it ain't it, Mike. You're just going to have to accept
But
it.
He's got records where they're really good.
Yeah,
so,
he does.
You know, it's...
Hey, that in stereo go, though. I need that poster. That album cover was fire.
Yeah.
I need that poster. Yeah.
He had the original version of that Kendrick song, Domestic Violence.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my definitely. God. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Playboi Carti, Eazy-E, and NBA Youngboy.
Like, this whole thing is just about who this individual doesn't like or doesn't understand. You know, like, because if you want to talk about bad rappers list, nobody wants, you know, are we going to bring up. Two Big MC or
or
the members of Ho Frat Ho or Biscuit. Like I remember all these bad rappers that tried to come up and did like one song and the marketplace was like, no, this
Redhead
is not
Kingpin.
For you. Like
White
even Redhead
Girls
Kingpin.
He had a hit.
Yeah, even
that guy is terrible.
My world.
You know
Terry Wright
Joker
though.
The Bail Bondsman, we're gonna talk about him. Like we're not you gonna put plies on it. No.
Terry
no.
might be right though on who you just said
Redhead Kingpin.
Yeah, my boy that was in what was he in?
He only
Strictly
had one
Business.
Song.
Pump It Hottie and
what about
Prize.
That's a good name. That is a good name. Prize.
Yeah, but even when like
be careful.
I could come up.
That's a thing.
You know, with you know, there's
Magoo.
So many. There's so many.
Magoo's another one.
So many people you could come up with.
Blinky
y'all,
Blink.
Like y'all don't remember. Yeah, you could all of Harlem World. You are gonna put all of
put the same
lunatics
on
there.
There.
Put all
put,
of Harlem.
Please
World on
put
there.
Harlem World on there if you're gonna do the same
yeah,
lunatics.
Man.
Yeah,
couple of the cats from what was Big's group?
Junior Mafia.
The Junior Mafia. Yeah, like
a lot of them.
Trife and the Snakes. No, yeah. Nobody's checking.
What about
for them.
All of the Wu-Tang B affiliates?
Well.
I'm laughing because I know where it's going.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot of boot.
And I hope Biscuit, if you're listening, I'm not trying to.
There was some mob people feeling that wasn't y'all don't good
remember,
either.
Y'all don't. Nobody. Does anybody right. remember Biscuit? Remember he had a song called Biscuits in the House?
Nah.
We need to find that because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Remember when Arsenio was Chunky A?
Yeah, that deserves to be on this
list.
I'm cool.
He's put on a fat suit and rap.
Yeah.
Didn't Nas.
That's
didn't,
problematic.
Didn't Nas had a. You stupid.
He got himself Chunky A, man.
Didn't Nas had a Bravehearts for a minute?
Yeah,
Jungle, right?
Yeah. We know you know about Jungle.
He hates Jungle. I don't know why.
He loves Jungle.
Horse. There was a dude named Horse in the Bravehearts.
Yeah.
Didn't put out nothing else. He's actually married to Heather B. That's kind of wild.
I'm not mad at that. You know. We love Heather B.
There's a woman rapper that was on Eric Sermon record.
Hurricane G.
I don't know, but I think Redman was on the record too. It was on Eric Onassis record.
Yeah, oh, that's sad. I know that album.
The verse was so bad.
Was it Takitha?
The dude to rap on the end of Mama Sita on Outkast.
Yeah, who is that?
They need to get him up out of here.
They need to get him all the way up, especially after the
Has he done anything since then?
I don't know.
Well, then we got him out of here.
Yeah, there you go. He makes money behind the scenes somewhere.
I want a Lil Will CD.
I feel like the
Lord
real,
have mercy.
The real people. The real people.
Lord. I'm sorry, but was anybody after the one song he put out, which I liked, but I was like,
hey, the Flipmo Squad album has some heat.
I can't listen to a whole album of this.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, the people that probably deserve to be on this list are the people that legitimately went away.
Okay.
You know, like, they had their moment, right? And then they just, wasn't it.
People are like, no, we don't want an entire 2 Big MC album.
Yep.
That's why. That's literally be like, man. 2 Big MC was like, man, this dude Hammer ain't doing me right. Let me go ahead and do my own thing.
Yeah.
2 Big MC.
I remember 2 Big MC. He should have stayed. He should have played his position.
Yeah,
he was
exactly.
doing great at his position.
Because he left right before Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him.
Yeah, man. He messed that money up.
He definitely messed up because he was.
And Hammer was paying everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know he'd have broke 2 Big MC off.
He was doing what he was supposed to do until he started feeling himself.
Until he was like, nope, 2 Big MC is. Once again, going back to if you a fat male rapper, you got to acknowledge it before everybody else does.
They ain't come to see you.
Yeah. Brother to the night, I don't know if I'm going to have to agree with Lil Zane. I like Lil Zane.
Oh, God. Yeah. Here we go with Lil Zane.
Like Lil Zane, huh?
He's got some fire verses on the Dr. Dolittle soundtrack.
First of all,
I had that song with Tank.
Lil Zane probably got a nice bag off that Dr. Dolittle soundtrack. So
I think so.
Good for him, man.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He's just somebody I randomly bring up.
So yeah, this person clearly got some motives.
Yeah, this is just hate.
Because anytime I see a list like this, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, we can take this person off and
he
this person
Silk
off.
The Shocker is number one.
I'm not even mad at that.
Yeah, I can't really.
Now, he got some of them right now. Some of these people need to be on here.
Like, because I don't think there's anybody out there that's like, man, you know who need to come on back and give us another joint? Silk the Shocker.
I tell you what, though, man. I'm not going to cap. He has one of the five best albums, in my opinion.
Charge to the Gang was good.
Thank you. Top five No Limit album ever.
Charge to the Gang was a good album.
I think that speaks more to No Limit.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, I just think it was a good album overall. I thought it was a good album.
Better than
Beyonce is featured on
better than
album.
Max Shellshock?
Talk to him. No, it's not better than
Max
Shellshock.
Was
Unladylike by Mia X.
It's better than
still,
that.
They were still good albums. It was a good album, man.
Now, when we start talking, I don't want to get off.
Is it better than the Moby Dick album?
Yes, it's better than that. Why you say it like that?
That's how he spelled it.
No, he put an extra space in between. You know, don't do that.
I can only tell you the one song he did. But I tell you what, at one point, my favorite rapper, as far as the name, Mr. Servon.
Mr. Servon.
That's right.
Yeah, he was like,
you're out here getting my Servon. I'm Mr. Servon.
Mr. Servon ain't top
he played
five.
He played a big role in the Bounty movie, Mr. Servon.
Facts.
Everybody get your Servon.
There's so many. There are.
Master P was just out here stealing our money. We was in there just renting.
So many.
I'm about it like we didn't know.
Bro, there's so
my brother
many mess
bought
ups
me the I'm about it movie.
Bro, there's
when
so
I
many.
Graduated. That was his graduation.
That was
present
your graduation gift.
I appreciated it though.
They came outside. It was daytime one time,
and then it was night.
I mean, they was trying to get it off the ground. So
No. Look,
but
I just
know Dope Fiend Willie was from here too.
Yeah, I heard that.
Good point. I ain't know that. Good point.
No, but like. This is when I was taking my first production classes in college.
Oh, you filmed on I'm About It?
No, but I could have done a better based on what they taught me in 300M.
Come on, man.
I'm just saying.
Let P be the groundbreaker he was going to be now. Let him.
You know a list I'd like to see? Best rap names ever. That'd
that's
be
a
cool.
good
Mr. Servon's in the top five.
No Limit's got a lot of those.
Do they really?
Full Blooded.
That's
y'all don't even remember that.
Skullduggery.
Yeah.
Cain and Abel.
Getting that Skullduggery.
I don't know if these are like great names.
Young Bleed. That's a good name.
Young Bleed is hilarious.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
I got a Young Bleed.
Hey, Young Bleed. Young Bleed album really wasn't talking about nothing, but Bring the Noise.
How you and, do that there?
That, how you that's do that just, there? That's yeah. it.
Right, that, maybe that's all you that's need. A list that we should put together is like best rap names. 25 best rap names.
We can go through No Limit names and have some fun with those if you look up all
no,
of them.
No, no, low key it's Mr. Serve on, and then we move on.
Low key 21 Savage is actually a pretty
that's
cool name.
That's actually an awesome name.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That is kind of, that. Yeah.
The mug's kind of tight, man. Think about it.
21 Savage.
Even without the music, the Notorious B.I.G. is a dope moniker.
Yeah.
It is.
What's B.I.G. stand for?
Nothing. They just, remember he's supposed to be Biggie Smalls, but there was a white rapper who already had the name.
Oh. No, I don't remember.
That's
that.
A movie character. I know so it was Biggie Smalls is a movie character.
I thought
character.
It was a real thing person.
No, it was a thing to where like there was already a white rapper recording under the name Biggie Smalls.
Somebody was calling themselves Big too. Because remember, y'all didn't hear about all that stuff that was coming out over the past month about
dude
there was an actual rapper
like
named Big.
Yeah, in Mississippi or something.
Yeah, from Mississippi. Yep. Jay, you know Biggie Smalls was Uptown Saturday Night.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. I think that's where everybody. Yeah. You know. Certain demographic would know it from.
Right.
Gobernator don't know nothing about that. I'm sorry, I gotta stop.
Why you keep
up.
Calling him out?
I gotta
out,
stop
though,
picking
man.
Out my guy. He only like how old is the Gobernator?
16.
Yeah, he's still young. He don't know. Let's shout out our partners.
He gonna hit you in your mouth when he see.
Yeah,
you know how these youngins are.
All right, pardon. Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, shout out to our partners. We appreciate the support as always from them. Shout out to TJ Loveskeep for saying Hiawatha Smalls. I know what that means. I see you.
There was a school in Anderson called Hiawatha. Did you know that?
Did not.
It's on the north side.
Elementary?
Mm-hmm. It was before our time, but yeah.
Yeah, Hiawatha Smalls. That's Biggie Smalls' name in that movie. So I see you. I see you. Good call on that one. Well, apparently, vulturing has been floating around on the net again. We hit that. We talked to, we've done the Vlad. We've done conversation about the content. But
come on, Vlad, man. Come on, man.
Joe Budden, though, he had Adam 22 on from No Jumper, and they start pressing him about uploading content from Kevin Samuels right after he passed.
Oh, word.
Yeah, and they talked about how
that's a little messy.
Talked great about guy. How he is one of the people that benefits and profits off of black trauma or black death. And Adam 22, you could kind of see him squirming a little bit if you watch the video. He held himself well.
I can't say squirm. You know what I'm saying? Because he knew what it was when he walked in. He was there for the smoke.
My thing is, some of the stuff that he said, I don't know if he believed everything that he said when he talks about, well, it's just what the people like. Okay, what does that have to do with you and the motives of when you put it out versus what the people like? And Joe Budden was like, you making my point. Because it doesn't matter about if he passed away. It doesn't matter if X rapper A shot rapper B or whatever. It's about what the people want, and it's just the content. Now, the question is he wrong when he says that as a content creator, as someone that just tries to run up the numbers? So the ethics and the morality is what came up. And that's what Joe and the guys from his podcast was on his head about, the morality as it relates to things that you post. So Jay,
specifically towards the Kevin him being a white guy in a black culture talking
exactly.
about
because I,
black
there
trauma.
Because there were two that I watched. There was one where he talked about like all the kids from O Block and the back and forth that they have. And then the one from when he put the clips up of the Kevin Samuels situation after he passed away. And I got two very, very different opinions.
I want to hear from Lone. Lone, I want to hear from you on this one first. Because you told me you saw it. We've all had the conversation, so it's not that deep as it relates to that, but I know that you watched it. What was your take as a person that understands content and understands, you know, the bottom line from people that post things and, you know, edit clips and things of that nature? What were your thoughts in terms of how Adam handled it? Like, What were your takeaways?
I think he handled it in general the best that he could. Mm-hmm. I don't think he came across. I don't know. I don't think he came across like he was like intentionally like an evil person necessarily. I just feel like a lot of times there are blind spots when you're a white person and you operate in a space that isn't your own. Outside of your culture within hip hop, even though he was saying like, yeah, I listen to drill music. It's my music. It's the stuff that I love. You know, I'm talking to them about their lives. I'm talking to them about what's going on with them. They decide to talk about it. Yeah. All that stuff is true. But at the same time, there's, this, the two gentlemen, I don't know the two gentlemen that are on the podcast with Joe. But they kept
Ison-ish.
So they kept pushing back upon one particular thing over and over again about
these kids dying.
Yeah, about the kids dying and what his role is in it. And I don't think Adam fully grasped it.
He didn't.
And so, like, at that point, the fact that he was kind of, like, I feel like he was trying to at least listen, but probably also was because he was in the particular situation where he, what's he going to do? And that's, I mean, he's on a big platform, so he's got to be able to respond to it.
He also came off, in my personal opinion, towards the end, kind of snobby from a standpoint of, I can't believe you guys are even saying, bringing this stuff up, and I can't believe that you guys can't understand and this and that.
So that's, to me,
that kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
So to me, that's whiteness. That, that's whiteness in the space, in my opinion. So like he didn't have the capacity to sit back and look at this from an angle of how are you affecting things that you aren't directly a part of.
Right.
So from his perspective, I think he's thinking, I'm creating content. I'm inviting these people on that typically, you know, I have a big platform. I'm giving them a voice to talk about whatever they want.
He did say that.
You know, it's my platform as well. You know, I'm not intentionally out to try to exploit people, but I allow them to come on. And it's kind of like a trade-off, essentially, is what I kind of looked at it as. But as far as the main points that you said, Ison-ish, that they were trying to get at, I think that was missed on Adam. 100%. And I think that's why people will call Adam 22 a culture vulture, is because he doesn't understand those things. He doesn't understand why it's problematic for anybody to, just same as academics, to bring people on and just exploit black trauma, as they were calling it, in that aspect.
Would you say, based off what you just said, do you think there's a piece of him that's willing to learn and try to understand? I don't buy it as genuine.
I can't speculate on that. I don't know. But yeah. I didn't. To me, when I was watching him, it just seemed like so many of my white brethren and ladies that seem to just not get it.
Yeah.
And so at that point, the thing that you just said really becomes moot, because there's like a complete learning curve understanding that's just not there. So the answer would be, yeah, maybe, you know, I don't know. But he's in such a position of power too. You know, he's got one of the biggest media companies out there. He can have anybody on. He can do anything he wants.
What I noticed was one line that stood out to me was, as it related to Kevin Samuels, he said, I mean, the reason I posted it is because that was his mission. That's the thing that he cared about the most. That's what people wanted to see him post. And I'm like, I don't know about that, especially after Fam passed away. That sounds more like a numbers grab, because he passed away and you know people are going to be searching for him, versus you trying to make sure that you relay his message. I didn't buy that.
No, that's definitely a numbers game.
You know what I'm saying? That's, you see what I'm saying?
I didn't even watch any of this, but that obviously a numbers game. If you've never talked about Kevin Samuels, he doesn't even fit your format.
Right. No, but actually, they cut. See, it was a long form interview that they had already done before he passed, and they had added a clips channel, you know, that before he had passed.
Being No Jumper. Okay.
And so they added the Kevin Samuels content that they had already shot and already had on their site as a full length interview, and put the clips up.
Of that interview.
I dig that, but I'm just saying, hearing him say, well, that was his mission. That's what he cared about. Those were the things that he wanted to do. We just wanted to continue that on. I don't buy that.
Honestly, I had no problem with that.
Yeah. Now that you say that he actually shot it with them.
Yeah. Right, he actually sat down and talked. You know, I had no problem.
That's their content at the end.
And I just remember there was some, you know, random, I don't know what, you know, because the thing is, they're now, famous, just like if you got a pretty face, you're famous, and there
was
some
influencer.
Yeah, there was some woman that came on there and tried to like slander like Kevin Samuels, because like even though she didn't really watch his content, she just heard things about him. Yeah. And Adam 22 was like, no, that's not what he says. That's not, you know, she took up. He, this is before he died, though. But, you know, I just want to play white devil's advocate for a quick moment, because I think about the time when Prince died.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, radio stations that didn't even play Prince, whose DJs probably don't even know Prince's deep cuts or even his hits, all of a sudden they changed their format for two weeks. All of a sudden VH1.
I kind of get it with Prince because he was a musical icon. Who I didn't get it with was Nipsey.
Well, no, yeah, I was very, because I was like, don't do Nipsey tributes now when you had none of his music. You don't even have his music in the system to play, you know.
We all were on Nipsey,
but you know, I mean, I just think about how, you know, I felt some type of way. I remember VH1 had that that real bum ass Michael Jackson biopic where they had Flex Alexander and Whiteface. But you know, when he died, all of a sudden they're playing Moonwalker and
Jackson's American Dream.
They're playing that ad nauseum for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, where you had been doing things to slander Michael Jackson up to that point, where, and then when he dies, all of a sudden you want to play his entire discography on your channel.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't even fit the format anymore. So I had no problem with the whole Kevin Samuels thing, because it's like, look, you knew people were interested, and honestly, if Kevin Samuels, since it was a one man situation, like I guarantee you, if he actually had a production staff, they would be cutting up his clips and posting them. Now with the guys, all the kids from Chicago, I felt a different way about that, because you know sometimes it's not really what they might say in the interviews, but they kept pointing out the way the clips were posted,
the titles, thumbnails, and so
I could see where they would be. And, you know, like I said, I don't know these artists, so it's not on my radar. So when I hear exactly, you know, talking to so-and-so's mom and being on the block and this, that, and, like that is, that's a little bit disturbing to me.
I don't think people understand the impact of thumbnails and titling for kids in today's era. How impactful that can be, how you might be able to, I don't want to say,
I mean, that's
inside
how they're
rider.
Used to, though. I mean, at the end.
I mean, they used to it, but what I'm saying is I'm looking at it from a standpoint of kids just getting gassed off seeing it and then maybe going to, you know, act out certain things. I think they can be triggered by that
off a thumbnail?
Bro, the thumbnails and the titling, like, it's beef culture. Like, all these videos are all negative.
I mean, it's clickbait at the end of the day.
That's what I was going to get at, yeah.
The problematic issue is fantasizing of it, essentially, and that's something that Academics does. That's something that Adam 22 kind of deals with too, is the whole fantasizing of it and making it look, what's the word I'm looking for, I don't know, they make it look provocative, essentially.
Provocative, yeah.
And it's not, it's life is not a video game at the end of the day. It's not about getting on YouTube and watching these videos and you seeing people that are dead and they aren't really dead. No, these people are dead.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Based on the type of lives they live, and somebody is exploiting that. Not to mention, some of these rappers are exploiting themselves and getting themselves in trouble, but that's a conversation for another day. But the problematic part is actually posting that content.
Right.
When you have other things that you can talk about, that's the only thing that I see is the problem.
But at the same, you know,
I respect that.
Because imagine if all of a sudden we started interviewing these kids, and like, we don't interview anybody, so don't try to hit us up for no interviews. but then it's like, none of us really have any interest in that music.
Right.
You know, so if we were doing it, it would just be flat out exploitation. Like, I don't, like, when I see the thumbnail, I don't click on it because I don't know FBG or I'm not even going to disrespect whatever all these letters stand for, because I don't know who's out here. But if he sits down and is like, talks about their musical project, but then he goes into this deep dive on it, there are people who are interested. Now, is it something that's still exploited? Because, you know, once again, the way you put these thumbnails and the way you title things, because that's what we do here.
Right.
Sometimes the way the difference in, you know, 100 views and, you know, 10,000 views might be exactly what you put into the thumbnail.
No, it's 100% that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that,
so
that wasn't my point, but yeah, I'm with you guys.
Yeah. And so, you know, at the same time, like, I'm not mad at him for playing the game. with the algorithm, because that's the, you know, that's what, honestly, if you're a content creator, that's what we're here to do. If you just write in sitting down with FBG so-and-so, like I said, not to be disrespectful, I just don't know the artist like that.
Right.
And, you know, and it has a nice picture of Adam 22 and
he
said,
won't even be on
and, like, and then it's, you,
he won't, he won't even be in the picture. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, I'm not going to do, like, he, if he's trying to drive traffic to his site and, you know, it's so many per click and this, that, and you're running a business, you know, and even if you told him, okay, say Adam 22, you know, said Joe Budden, Ice-ish, the whole crew, you know what, you're right, I'm not going to post this content anymore.
He won't do it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but you know what? Somebody else will pick up.
True.
Somebody,
oh,
like,
yeah,
or there is somebody else will be like, I want the, I want that 100,000 clicks.
It's this.
I'll go ahead and get, I'll go ahead and take, it's a messed up argument. It's kind of like the same way people say, look, if I don't sell the drugs, they're going to buy them from somebody.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, that's where we are when we talk about creating content and clicks and shares and what it is, where the algorithm works. Because it's like, look, if you don't put these kids from O Block or whatever, if you don't put them on your platform, they will go somewhere else. It's not going to stop. The genie is out of the bottle.
There it strikes solutions. Me as, go ahead, Lon, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You could demonetize that.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah,
because
so Dame Dash did talk about that. If it's something
it's
that's
not
specifically
on them.
Beat, you know, then all of a sudden
the
you de-incentivize
yes.
Posting those types of videos.
But then it's like, the kids who actually want to get on there and talk about their art, it's like, well, I got an FBG in my name, so I can't even go sit down and talk to these people.
It's disingenuous to me. This is my personal opinion, just watching it. When I hear him say, oh, I listen to drill music every day. I love it. I would, too, if I had a financial gain. Thank you. If I had a financial gain that I could find a way to make some bread off of, because I know the beef between this artist and that artist, and I know Old Block, and I know this and that. It don't strike me as genuine when he says, oh, I love drill music. It's one of my favorite things. I don't buy that.
Well, what about back in the day before the internet and all this fly social media that, you know, everyone seems to be able to take it and run with it? I remember, and this is something that artists who were around at that time talked about, when Vibe magazine put Big and Puff on the cover,
yep,
and it said East versus West.
That was messy.
And it was just like, super that messy. Wasn't even, so, and it's, you know, it's the same energy.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And it's like,
okay. And they've called them out on that on numerous occasions.
Yeah, yeah. And so
because the media pretty much are the ones that created the East and West Coast.
So listen to Tretch talk about it.
Yeah,
but watch
so
how mad
now
he
now we, you know, it's like, we want to get all mad now, but I'm like, once again, this same energy, like, we have been exploiting the deaths of Biggie Smalls and Tupac for the past 25 years,
yeah,
in some way, shape, or form, because a lot of these people, like, when you go to these Art of Dialogues, when you go to, you know, Say Cheese, all these, I'm, you know, I'm not just to call out people to, you know, bring them into this argument, but think about all the people that get interviewed that would have no other reason to be interviewed except they just happen to be around during, you know, this dude, Reggie Wright, and all these people used to work for Death Row,
oh, yeah, yeah,
or Bad Boy. Like, these people haven't done anything in the culture in 20, 25 years, but they get to sit down and do numbers just because they were around.
And I'm not going to cap. When I see an interview that says, interview with Gene Deal for Bad Boy, I want to watch that. I'm not going to cap, so I'm not going to sit
see,
up here and preach
those,
and be like, I don't want to watch
those type things
it.
Don't really bother me in a
or
sense
Kurt
that
Burrows.
Is something that happened in the past.
Okay.
Versus perpetuating something to continue to go on. So if you're showing things that are going on in Chicago, so to speak, right now, which a lot of these outlets do, they are literally pitting these gangs against each other by putting this rapper up. This rapper talks about such and such. Here he is, blah, blah, blah. Then somebody in that crew ends up dead. Then we perpetuate by let's interview the people on the other side. So you're walking that thin line in between, playing the innocent role, but literally you're literally pitting people against each other.
And people,
whereas when it was like you're saying, they're exploiting it, but at this point in time, it's a story. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a movie, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you're getting down to the bottom of what happened back then versus creating newer issues and things that continue to go on. So I don't necessarily.
I see exactly what you're saying. But also, I see exactly what some of these young people put on their own situation.
That's bad.
And I'm like,
how in Atlanta is killing them.
And it's like, how is it that, like, I put up something that, you know, about police brutality a couple years ago, and they struck, like, Instagram didn't give me an opportunity to appeal it. They just took it off of my feed.
Yeah.
But like, you can see people pointing guns and talking about their ops in this street and that street. And I'm like, how does this never get flagged?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, you know, it's like these kids are saying, come, like there was a story where a kid got on Instagram and said, come see me, you know, think being on some tough guy stuff.
They came and
they came and saw him. And
that was like just a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit further back, but recent. Yeah. But recent.
Recent enough to where, like, yeah. And so I'm like, is it, do we just need to turn the internet off for 2 weeks?
So that's the point that I would get to with, to me, we're talking about the problem, the stuff that's happening, right? But what are the solutions, right? And to me, the solutions is putting the pressure on the platform. And so the Dame Dash thing that you mentioned, I think, is super important, because when you demonetize, when you say Adam 22, you can't put out this content with this subject matter within this and monetize it at the same time, he's not going to post it anymore, right. No matter if he likes it or not. That goes to Mike's point where he's like, I don't think he's genuine.
I don't.
Because at that point, he is going to find a different way and a different way to monetize it. It's the same thing with curse words. You know, you go through and you have to edit certain. You can only have certain types of curse words in so many. And you can't have them in the beginning portion of the video and blah, 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 blah. Or you can't monetize. If you can't monetize the videos, then these content creators are going to have to start getting a little bit more creative on what they post and put out there.
At one point, weren't they demonetizing our videos just when we talked about Nipsey Hussle?
They still do. So if
we have to blank out his name now?
Yeah. Well, no. I know. We'll be fine. If we put the word Nipsey in the title, we get a yellow mark on YouTube, which means it's going to, it's like we still get paid through YouTube Premium, but we don't get regular monetization through it. Same thing if you put R. Kelly's name in there. You can put Kelly, but you can't put R. Kelly. You can't put Robert Kelly. I've done experiments with this to see which videos, because we had that random segment a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And so I was trying different things, and I was like, oh, that's super interesting. Same thing with
Donald
Trump. It can't be done. And you can, and then you just have to figure out how to change your content around. But if you have too many F-bombs in there, I just uploaded a video yesterday where somebody said it like 30 times, and I got an email that said, this is 18 plus content. Hmm. You know, so it's just, it's on the platforms, in my opinion, to police the stuff a little bit better. And I think our energy in general, rather than get mad at Adam, I think conversations with them are good, or people like Adam, right?
Like, he showed up for the smoke. So
he could have, you know, because the thing is, a lot of times
we talk about people when we can talk to them.
Yeah.
Right.
I give you peace for that.
And I think those conversations are good and they're important to have. But if we really want things to change, we have to put pressure on the platforms,
right?
YouTube, the TikToks, the Instagrams, the Mark Zuckerbergs,
Zuckerberger.
You know, Boosie, we see
all that stuff.
I think, Long, what you just said is the point, because we'd see a lot of people start to change instantly if they took the monetization out. Academics, no jumper, we'll just use those two. A lot of stuff would change if they took that stance. The platform took that stance.
Both of them, I just know it being a content creator. I know they found a niche for themselves, and they're like, I'm going to milk it until they stop. That's what they did, and they made
that's
a lot
what all
of money off of
content creators.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do it too.
And I don't even dislike No Jumper. You know what I'm saying? I've watched No Jumper.
I had no idea where he came from until recently.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's just somebody
I know. Like I said, I just don't. Whenever they interview some of these younger, I just don't know who they are. So whenever I see it pop up, I'm not interested.
Right.
Terry, you made it, but your point to me is along with, you know, what we've all said, but your point about this one report posting this, and then one dies, and then posting that on the other side, it's like
the content never stops,
but it also incites both sides of the cruise, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's
which
like
perpetuates what Terry talked about, has
it creates more content
that's
for them.
That's what I'm talking about.
I understand, but you know
that's
what?
If the heart of white supremacy.
But also, if you were on the south side of Chicago, they could turn all the internet off and on the south side and the west side of Chicago. And, you know, there's only, like, there are solutions there that I don't know if I have the answer to. I don't know if anybody had the answer, they'd figure it out, because right now that violence is starting to move downtown and near the Bean. Like, they got wild in Chicago.
But in
this
my
summer.
Personal opinion, even with you saying that the internet will just, you know, in a
perfect yeah, if they just
cut it off, it's still going to happen. I agree with that. But I'm also from the school of the stuff that we're talking about. also is a, has a bad influence and also heightens some of the things that will still continue to happen. That's my point.
No, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to absolve anybody of any responsibility or say like Adam 22 should just keep, you know, putting these provocative thumbnails and titles into things.
Yeah.
But you know, if Adam 22 said, you know, I'm going to race my channel, or I'm just going to talk about BMX or whatever they said that he
BMX,
and yeah, he talks to you know, adult
Corn.
Stars.
He has a whole series.
Yeah, Corn. If he can't said, I'm word. Just, you know. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. 10:35.
Yeah, you know, if that was the solution to kids not shooting each other on the south side of Chicago, I think he'd do that. Right. But unfortunately,
maybe
it's a much larger issue, and you know. Kids were shooting each other when they had no smartphones.
Yeah. I'm with you there. We can't absolve ourselves in you know, the black community, especially in Chicago. We cannot absolve ourselves from what actually happened. So I agree with that. I'm just saying. They put a little battery in it.
I know. You can say there's a battery to it, but you know what? Like, you know,
what's the systemic change that's going to happen?
Yeah. What is it? You know, are they going to stop shutting down the fact that they closed all these projects and sent these people to different sides when you knew that he didn't get along with these people on this side? And,
yeah.
Right. You know, it's deep.
In Chicago ain't what you think they are.
Country Club Hills is different. Yeah.
Shout out to country. I know Country Club Hills. Yeah. Be careful.
It's not what it sounds like. Yeah, you out there in country club.
It's just like that conversation about homelessness and people like, you know, like if you care so, I saw somebody say, if you care so much about homelessness, why don't you let, you know, homeless people come and stay with you? And it's like, well, okay.
No, it doesn't work that way.
but it's like this. Okay. I let one person that's homeless come into my house. What about the other 64,000 people?
Yeah.
And what about the fact that we have more empty homes in this country than we have homeless people?
Yeah.
Why do they have to come stay with me when there's somewhere for they could be staying?
Yeah. But anyway, that's a
But we, part. Yeah, let's not get too deep.
Missy Elliott, I don't need to really.
Actually, I'm curious of what she's done outside of.
Writing, production.
No, I got a production.
Outside of her actual, you know.
Yeah, like stuff I know.
So she's been.
She's big in the writing scene.
Yeah, her pen is crazy. Her pen is crazy. She's got credits going back to 1993, long for Raven Simone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what little girls are made of.
Jason Weaver. Good call. You're right. Jodeci, show after the show, After Party at the Hotel. She's got writing credits for that, which is dope.
Devontae is actually the one that put her on.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Devontae.
Doing hip hop production credits. What we got?
All right. So,
is it mostly R&B?
Yeah, let's see. They got her on a writing Busta credit Rhymes. For Busta Rhymes Is a Party, which I love that song. It is a lot of
R&B. It is definitely more real R&B heavy. Puffy Daddy and the Family, It's All About the Benjamins.
He's That's got
the original?
Uncredited vocal arrangement on that. Mm. Got three joints on MC Light's album in 98, 7 and 7.
Those were solid joints, though.
Yo-Yo's album, Ebony, she got two joints on there. Let's see. Timbaland's album, Tim's Bio, The Life from the Basement. Three records on there she produced, co-production. And she got Whitney Houston. Tough. And this is just still in the 99, Destiny's Child. Where are the rappers? Let's find some more rappers. Tamia.
A lot of R&B.
Yeah, she's very R&B heavy. Bubba Sparks.
Bubba
Ugly.
Sparks got a sample credit for that. I know Tim was all over that. Oh, Missy Elliott, So Addictive.
Her album, yeah.
Credit all the way through there. You know, it's Ludacris, Method Man's on the albums, Busta Rhymes, Timbaland. So she's always been more of a hybrid anyway with that. Under Construction, her whole album, TLC. Wow, man. Yeah, it's heavy. It's heavy, long.
It's like almost entirely.
R&B.
Yeah. Sticky Fingers, a joint with him.
Okay. Yeah, I went through the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Olivia, So Def, Jasmine Sullivan, Janet Jackson, Fantasia.
Whew, huge names.
Black. Aaliyah, 702.
More Timbaland.
Yeah. All right. Not a lot of hip hop.
Not a lot.
But yet she's always.
Her residual checks are crazy, though.
Oh, yeah. Missy ain't worried about no paper. All right. Let's give it a shot. This is going to be interesting.
Impact on peers and upcoming producers.
I'll give her a 9 for that.
I'm going to agree with Terry on that. Missy is legendary in that area.
I'll give her a 6.
Long, tough out the gate.
If we're talking hip-hop.
Versatility. How versatile are the hip-hop records?
I'll give her a 7.
The majority of them are hers, if you want to call it that.
I mean, but, you know, the few that she had outside.
I'd say probably 7.
Yeah.
I'm going to rock with a 6 on that.
Higher than a 6?
Collaborators, different hip hop styles of artists to producer or producer works.
Four.
Yeah, it's kind of low.
Oh, I'll tap in at four. Yep. Big hits and cult classics from the producer. Now
nine.
She's got some. Yeah, she's got some records, there. Man.
What are her biggest hip hop records?
Hot Boys.
Yeah, that's huge.
1 Minute Man. Yeah. I Can't Stand the Rain.
Can't Stand the Rain. Get Your Freak On.
Well, yeah.
Got some joints.
Like, she's got joints to still play.
Yeah, I'm going to go nine with the fellas on this one.
I'll go eight.
Consistency of quality material material released from a production writing standpoint, I guess.
I'll give her an eight.
Yeah, I'm going eight.
I'll take a seven.
Same. Seven.
How great body of work? How great is the overall body of work?
I'm talking about other people other than her. I mean, because the hip hop is kind of slim.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had to go with a six.
I'll give her a seven.
I'll meet Terry at six.
Yeah. Yeah, just based off her solo work. I mean, it's really just her solo work.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the most part, which is good.
Final product. How often are the songs great from their beats?
Eight.
Yeah, eight.
I don't know, because a lot of the songs that we...
I'll do seven.
I'm at a seven. Yeah, I'm at a seven. Melodic elements used, samples or original. Her and Timbo flip some stuff very well.
Yeah, they're actually...
You know, yeah, The Rain is a silly flip.
All of her stuff is melodic. Very melodic.
Eight.
I'm with y'all at eight.
Seven.
How great is the producer's drum programming?
Six.
I'll go six.
I'll say six with y'all.
6.9. I think the fact that Missy, that we are specifically targeting hip hop is why it's lower. If it was R&B, she'd probably be in the eights.
Yeah.
Might be higher.
Yeah, she'd be up there.
Because she's very R&B heavy, even though she's considered as a hip hop artist.
Yeah.
And like, she got some heavy.
I mean, her first group was an R&B group called
Sister.
Sister, which was founded by Devontae.
Yeah, they're trying to have them be like a
female version of Jodeci.
All right. That's respectable, though, for the legend. That's respectable.
Yeah, yeah. Considering, like, the majority of her big songs we didn't count.
That speaks volumes to how nice she really is. The fact that she got a 6.9 on this one. So, salute to OG Missy. All right, man. I think that'll do it for this episode. Shout out to the chat. You guys have been very active tonight. We appreciate that. Chatting. Makes the show that much better. As always, all the education you'll need this year for us. At newoldheads.com. So if you see it, like it, subscribe to it, get involved. Yep, we appreciate the support. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
And goodbye.